Vivian and Howard Wong are the co-founders of Little Moons, a matcha brand they started in 2010 after both leaving behind careers in finance. The brother and sister grew up surrounded by talk of business, watching their parents run their family bakery, where they also love to eat the traditional Japanese mochis, ice cream wrapped in chewy rice flour. The company started out by selling directly to London restaurants and worked with the pastry chef at Nobu to perfect their recipe. They're now stocked by all top supermarkets in the UK, along with Selfridges and Amazon. Recently, they opened their own London factory, where they are always experimenting with new flavors. Here's Vivian and Howard with the story of Little Moons.
Our parents ran an Asian bakery as we were growing up, so we've really been around food our whole lives. And mochi ice cream is one of those things that we've actually loved since we were kids. I used to beg my parents to buy it from the grocery store. And so as we got older, I guess we noticed that it still hadn't really taken off in the UK, but we saw an opportunity. And we were both, I guess, getting a bit bored of our corporate jobs. And so the idea began to get more and more traction. And then we started to think about it more and more seriously. And we kind of thought, you know, carpe diem, let's do this. And we started experimenting with making different recipes in the kitchen. Me and my parents actually, their company made traditional mochi, which is traditionally filled with red bean paste. And so actually combining it with ice cream is very technically challenging. So it took us a while to develop and play with different flavors. But after 2 years, we got it right and we decided to launch.
I think my dad was working for a business outside, like a corporate, I think BT actually. And my mum was a stay-at-home mum. And I guess she got a little bit bored. She wanted to start something interesting. And she noticed that there was a gap in the market for Chinese cakes and things. So she started making it from her kitchen. And as the business grew, my dad then left BT and joined. They started working on it together. So Howard and I have always grown up talking about business. Like our parents over the dinner table would always be discussing work things, business decisions and things. So we're always surrounded by that sort of environment. I think it's really helped actually with our business, because we always used to work in my parents' bakery after school or on weekends and things, because when you grow up in a family business, you all have to sort of like help out and things. So we've been sort of helping out in the factory and like helping our parents make mochi and cakes and other things that they've been doing. So we're kind of familiar with the product.
What attracted me to doing business, I guess, is just seeing the passion that my parents had in the product and having something to call them their own and just loving creating and doing their own thing. And I think when I started working in finance, I kind of looked at my kind of seniors and the lives they lived. And even though they were probably making far more money than my parents did, I just saw that the life that my parents lived was better because they were passionate about what they were doing and they're kind of in control of their own lives. That kind of really attracted me and Viv to that. So manufacturing has a lot of challenges. A lot of people tell you not to run a factory, it's very capital intensive, a lot of things can go wrong. But when we started off, there was no one that could really make our product. So we were kind of forced into making it ourselves. And actually, that's given us a huge amount of control into sort of the quality of the product, and it's allowed us to sort of do NPD very quickly. So it was a real change. I went from typing away on Bloomberg terminals to suddenly, you know, calling machine manufacturers and getting spare parts from all around the world and dealing with pallets and ordering stuff. But it's something that, you know, you quickly get familiar with. It's not rocket science. It's just a different scene.
So we started selling to restaurants just because when we're creating a new product, no one really knows it. And I think that people go to restaurants to try new foods, to experience new cuisine. And so we approached chefs first to try and build that market so that people became more familiar with mochi ice cream. And so we got a couple of big clients like Yo Sushi and some, you know, high-end restaurants in Mayfair. And so we started supplying it to them. And we just noticed how the market for it was slowly growing. And as chefs moved around, they also wanted to put it onto the menus of the new restaurants they went to. So we sort of built the market slowly. That's why we've been going for 10 years. We've just built everything up from scratch. And so I think it's turned around from quite a scrappy business where it was just the two of us really, really just sorting everything out, like Howard said, manufacturing, engineering, IT, so like everything we had to do. And we've slowly grown the business into retail. And I think when we hit retail, it does cost a lot more money to do the branding and do the packaging and marketing. And we've grown it slowly, but I think the business looks very different now than it did when we first started.
We've always had ambitions to go into retail and sell in stores, but when we got started, we quickly realised that actually people say once you get on the shelf, that's just the first step and it has to actually sell. And at that time, people didn't really know what the product was. So we soon realised that actually selling to food service or restaurants is a lot easier. You don't need a brand, you just need a good product and they buy in big volumes and you don't really have to work on the sort of branding and marketing side of things. So it really helped us to develop the ability to produce in scale and of high quality. And actually meeting all these chefs was amazing because they really knew where to buy the best quality ingredients and they really helped us to refine the flavours and sort of tell us which flavours were really hot actually. So it was actually a blessing in disguise because I think it kind of prepped us and gave us scale so that when we did launch in Whole Foods, we were ready to sort of move really fast.
The supply chain isn't that different for us going into retail because it's a frozen product, so the shelf life is relatively the same. But scaling up the business, I think there's always a risk that the quality of the product is affected. And so that's been one of our strongest values, to make sure that the quality of our product is not compromised by mass production and we still use the same recipes, we still use the same quality of mango purees that we use, fruit purees. I think if you try and focus on that, you don't lose it as you scale the business up.
So I was sort of heading up, kind of preparing for Brexit, you know, that fun task. And I would say it's just taken up so many man hours of attention, just years and years of kind of planning and meetings, just trying to figure out what's going on. And I wish that time could have been better spent just sort of running a business, because, you know, time is precious anyway. So we were prepared for it. But even though we prepared, it's just a massive pain in the something I can't say on the radio. But to this day, it's kind of making processes that were so simple before so complicated, kind of delays. So even though you prepare for it, it's still a pain. In a strange way, the whole COVID crisis kind of helped us, because when it first happened, we were in panic mode. We thought we do so much to food service and that was shut down. So we closed the factory, went into cash preservation mode, and for a few weeks, things were changing every day. But then once the dust settled, you found yourself with a lot more time to think and sort of like moving forward all the time. Viv and I both stepped back and just thought about our brand and our business and where we wanted to take it. And that gave us time to sort of focus on kind of what our values were, what we wanted to do with the brand. And actually, it's moved a long way in the last year. Our thinking involving, you know, what's our purpose and what are we here to do and what sort of direction do we want to go going forward. We've always been really close growing up, but starting a business together is like an entirely different thing. I think we speak to loads of people and they're always like, I could never work with my sibling, you know, would tear each other's hair out. And I guess, you know, when we started off, the business was tiny and we were doing everything. And so you get all these sort of cliches where you start to get on each other's nerves. And at the time, we hadn't really separated roles that well. So loads of things fell down the middle, just things that neither of us wanted to do. And then when they weren't done, we'd kind of blame each other for not doing them. So there was a time when we were living and working together where we did get to the point where we probably did want to tear each other's hair out. And, you know, it was tough times, it was a really stressful time in the business. But we ended up taking like a personality test and just like working to figure out, you know, what our strengths and weaknesses are. And what we realized was that we are actually almost like complete polar opposites in the way we think. And so once we'd worked that out, we actually began to appreciate each other's perspectives. And actually looking back, we realised that it's one of those clichés, but, you know, we found a founder that has completely different ways of thinking to each other. And it's actually been really beneficial for how we make decisions. So now it's really good. And we've actually divided our roles. So I look after sales and marketing, Viv looks after operations, and we have a whole sort of senior leadership team around us to sort of stop us getting into each other's faces too much. So it's actually working really well now.
It's definitely been a journey, yeah. But we've definitely learned to work better together and just appreciate each other's differences. I guess we're working on some new flavours in the summer. We always like to keep things fresh and our consumers have new flavours to look forward to. So we're working on that at the moment. I think we're also looking at direct-to-consumer channel because the supermarkets give us limited shelf space. So there's like maybe 2-3 flavours maximum. But we know lots of our fans like to have some of the more obscure flavours. And so I think that the direct-to-consumer channel would work really well that way if you want a special limited edition. And I guess that's the benefit of having your own factory. You can run these smaller, shorter lines and keep things fun and fresh.
So I'm a massive pistachio lover. So when we developed the pistachio flavour, I was really like trying to make sure it's the best one out there. And I'm really proud of that flavour.
I am most proud of our new tropical vegan, which is the mango and passion fruit. I love it because you would never know it was vegan. It's a really creamy ice cream. I just love the fresh flavour with a touch of tartness at the end. So that's definitely my favourite flavour. But prior to that, it was mango. I quite like fruity flavours. But then I'm particularly proud of our pistachio as well. It's hard. It's like picking your favourite child, but there you go.
Howard and Vivian Wong, co-founders of Little Moons. You can learn more at littlemoons.co.uk. My thanks to both and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening and goodbye.